Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It's Friday. We finally made it, everyone. Again, a few companies nearly didn't. Some didn't. Some lost out. Hope you're well. And I've adjust my mic here. But problems with... you never guess what happened to me today. By the way, the 17th. Hit that like and subscribe button if you could. Download the free Vox Markets app. But this morning, I had one of those comedy... In fact, I was still trying to sort it out. I had one of those comedy issues where... my toilet broke and I tried to fix it and I had water gushing up the walls. I was just shouting, ah, help, stop, turn the water off. And so my wife was rushing around trying to find the stop cock. So we had one of those issues. That's why I'm a little bit late because I'm all over the place today. But hope you're well. And let's look quickly at the market here. Let's look at the indices, see what's moving and what's shaking here. Okay, share screen there with you. Standard Chartered, that's up. Didn't have a bit of a tanking recently, didn't it? That FTSE up shy of 1%. FTSE 250, 1.2%. AMOL share 0.66. What is it? 717. It's looking quite good actually. Look at this. I mean, we are sort of 7.25% up from the lows, up above the 50-day moving average, which is, of course, an early indicator. But what I'm saying today is there may be trouble ahead. And why do I say this, right? I don't know if you saw the retail sales today coming out. And what's a worry as well, the ONS haven't got a grip on employment. It didn't change unemployment recently because they're not getting respondents. I think, basically, people who are not responding are depressed, aren't they? Why would you respond if you're out of work to an ONS survey? So I think the figures are worse than they're saying. But anyway, I'm going to show you these retail figures. Okay, they're a lot worse. They're worse since the lockdowns. The lockdowns. That's when people couldn't go out of shop, essentially. So ONS revised down its reading of retail sales in September as well. A drop of 1.1% after initially estimated decline of 0.9%. They're saying, given the fine margin by which Britain avoided an economic contraction during the third quarter, today's figures showed a risk that GDP could yet to be revised lower to a negative reading. We're in recession, everyone. We know that. Been set up for ages on here, if you've been watching. We're in recession. They'll revise back those figures and we'll show, oh, well, yeah, we were in recession. But look at this. Actual figures, right? Retail sales year in year to October, minus 2.7%. Forecast by the experts came in at minus 1.5%. So almost twice as bad as they thought. Oh, to be paid to be an expert, eh? Look at these figures. They even thought October was going to rise by 0.3%. It contracted by 0.3%. They're way out. I'm just going through here, right? Investors obviously are thinking now that the Bank of England will reduce interest rates next year. It's just when. It's not a question of if, it's just when. But the thing is this. This is why there's trouble ahead. We know the banks behind the curve on everything, the central banks, okay? So they raise interest rates, and we're starting to see now some issues, maybe even deflation. Not disinflation, deflation. That'll be a big problem. And I can't see in the new year, you know, consumers going out spending even more. They may have a little spree over Christmas, but like I said, two-thirds of people are going to pull, tighten their belts and their braces. Just tighten everything. Stop eating less. Eating more, I mean. Maybe that's the thing. Just have a tight belt at the Christmas dinner. You know, eat less. But anyway, so there'll be a lag, you know, in the economics getting worse, the figures getting worse, and the central banks reducing interest rates. But the worse the economies are, the figures coming out by the economies, the more likely they are and the sooner they are to reduce the rates. Now, the market tries to price this in. So certain stocks will do well. But the companies that are facing, you know, the real world economy, like a consumer discretionary, for example, if they're consumer facing, I can't see them reporting any good trading updates for many, many months to come. You know, when will consumers start feeling flush again? Not for a while. So I think there's going to be a gap here between the central banks reducing interest rates, but the market sort of priced that in, and the economy is getting better, essentially. It'll be a long lag. So I think you have to be very discerning in what you invest in. So I want your suggestions, please. Okay, there are certain sectors I think will do very well in the next few months. There are certain sectors will come out with bad trading updates because the consumer is still tightening their belt. You know, interest rates will still be high for many people. You know, mortgage payments will still be high. Car payments will still be high. Credit cards, you know, will still be high. But there are certain sectors, of course, that will benefit just in the realization or the perception that interest rates will be coming down. So, you know, it's almost trying to find out the difference between the real economy and the markets. And there is a difference, but there's a certain overlap with certain companies that will be affected by the real economy. So what areas, I'm saying, what areas, what sectors is to avoid? What sectors or areas to look for? What are your thoughts there? What are you looking at? I mean, saying that, though, you know, it's a market of stocks. Certain companies, if they're doing okay and they've been hammered with the wider sort of sector sentiment, they can be a bit of a bargain. But what's your thoughts, anyway? What's your thoughts on this? Simon, yeah, Walmart. That was very telling. I saw that, Simon. Walmart sank by 8% yesterday. Now, oh, sorry, I sneeze. There's no bigger barometer, you know, of the consumer than Walmart, one of the biggest in the world. They sank by 8% yesterday in the US after they announced tanking sales in the last 2 weeks of October. Maybe student loan repayments of $500 a month starting in October are impacting. Do we need John, need to report John as a missing person? Lemon Physical. I think you should. He's been gone for more than 24 hours. What's the rule? You know, if someone's missing for more than 24 hours, report them. You are correct. Thank you, Supermono. I'll leave it there. Justin, you are correct. The consumer-focused stocks doing badly. For example, Unilever has not joined in this week's rally. I said that for a while. John said to me, no, Unilever strong brands. I don't think people care now. In that area, younger people do, in clothes and all that stuff. But I think people are trading down, you know, from brands. Just because they're expensive, because you can get these days Aldi, Lidl, you know, Tesco's, Asda, their own brands are quite good, aren't they? And they're cheaper. And I'll give you an example of my shop, right? I went into Asda the other day, and I like to have bran flakes. I have nuts and seeds with it, and I have some fruit with it. And I went in there, right? Kellogg's bran flakes, like £3 a box or something. Asda's own version, £1.50. What are you going to go for? You know, they're the same thing. They're bits of wooden fiber. You know, there's no difference. So what I'm saying is areas, come on, let's have some ideas here. This is a news you can use. Which areas of the market do you think will not be affected by the economy getting worse? Because the economy and the market is different things. But like I said, certain companies will be affected by the real economy tanking. And it will tank. Honestly, this is just the start. The central banks will have to come to the rescue by raising interest rates, but that'll be lagged. They're always way behind the curve there. What do? They sit around here for like, you know, the NPC. Okay, let's take a vote. That's all they do once a month. What are you saying? Keep them where they are, interest rates, rise them a bit, lower them. Okay, keep them where they are. Yeah, they put out a couple of spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations throughout the month, but that's all they do. But they're going to be lagged. They're going to be massively lagging on these factors because they look at lagging figures, essentially. So, areas to avoid, areas to look out for. I tell you what may do well, actually, is honestly loss-making pre-revenue stocks. Because if they see the cost of capital coming down, and the equity market's freeing up, they'll rise very quickly. So nano caps, macro caps, small caps, in fact, even loss-making companies. But also, you know, good solid, maybe the other end as well. But you are seeing the FTSEs, so some of the FTSEs are rolling over, whereas the nano caps and micro caps have been rolling over for 2 years. And in fact, look at this. This is very interesting. Well, you can be the judge. Bonds. Now, this is saying something, isn't it? Let's look at this. This is the two-year bond. This is the yield, of course. The bond price is going up. People are buying the bond because they think they won't get these kind of yields again, which is good. But the yield is coming down. And look at that. The two-year crossing the 200-day moving average. It hasn't crossed this. In fact, it did cross it today, like you can see there. It did cross it, and it's bounced back up a little bit. But like I say, it hasn't really crossed this since when? Back in fact, look at that. That is an inverse chart of the AMOL share. So is this turning? That's very interesting, isn't it? If I go back to AMOL share, where is that? Like I said, what was that? It's across there. When was it? Feb 2021. Let's look at the AMOL share. Oh, this is interesting. This is very interesting, isn't it? Later. So the bonds started moving before the markets are rolling over. The AMOL share started crossing in October 2021, whereas the bonds are rallying in Feb, so they're earlier. That's why you need to keep an eye on the bonds. But very interesting there. Is it? That's like the FTSE 250. That's doing quite well. Look at that. Oh, it was punched up earlier. You get this in a big rally. It's like tides, you know, when the tide changes. I don't know if you've ever stood on the beach for hours on end, just looking at the waves. but when a tide changes sometimes, the tide goes going out and it comes back in. You get a big wave, it comes up, you know, all at the beach and it comes back. Then subsequent waves are a bit less, not as far up the beach, but the tide has changed, you know. And that's like, you know, this here, a bit of a sell-off yesterday, yeah, a bit of a rally today. But you'll have this big rally, big wave, come back, another big wave, it'll go up. And what happens with the bonds, of course, if people start to get, it's going to be a double wave, a double big wave, because, of course, if people start to get less interest on their savings, if you can get, a safe 5% now, why mess around in microcaps that can, you know, take a 50% knock if they come out with a bad trading update or, you know, small caps. But if the small caps and nano caps start rallying, and then the interest you can get, you know, on these market money funds start going down, people start pulling their money out of those and start investing in the market. So it's a double wave. But I think there will be a lag factor for certain companies. You've still got to be, well, you know, you've always got to be, you know, disciplined and selective, I suppose. That's the trouble with the bull market. You tend to go crazy on lots of stocks. And I think you learn, obviously, a lot more. You learn 10 times more in a bear market than a bull market. And I'm almost sad to see the bear go. Because I know sometimes some of the rules you put in place, your investment guides, your strategies, will go out the window when all the stocks start rising. And they will. Certain stocks won't. Nothing worse than that. A general market rally and your stock is going down. That's horrible, isn't it? Okay. I'll cover some. It's not much news out today, but we'll cover some. Gregory, folk will always need medicine, so pharmaceuticals will be defensive. Yes, I agree. And in fact, I think especially companies that are pre-revenue, if the equity markets start, you know, thawing up and, you know, fundraisers start becoming a lot easier, cost of capital comes down. Yes, those kind of companies are that. Rifisopov I don't know if it's relevant to the latest figures, but I've heard some US government stats are iffy because they apply seasonal adjustments, which are iffy because of COVID, supply chain problems, etc. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard about the ONS, but the you know, unemployment figures, they're looking at alternative ways to find, you know, find accurate figures because they're not getting enough data on that. Data. But yeah, so we could see, you know, actual unemployment worse than it is. So I don't think the data sample size they have is big enough. And like I said, if you are just being laid off, would you reply to an ONS survey? No. Defense will, you know, do okay. Lots of conflict going on. Go defense for defensive position. Will Chemring start moving upwards? Would love to hear your thoughts on AFC Energy. It's a small cap. Yeah, Kev, welcome along, Kev. I don't know if I've seen you here before, but thanks for joining in the commentary. We'll have a look at AFC because they've just acquired the hydrogen assets of Octopus Energy. Yes, very interesting charts, the bond and the AIM. The bond market knows best and is forecasting a recession in 2024. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that, though. It's, you know, if you look at the AIM all shares priced in, I guarantee the AIM will rally. All I'm thinking about is selective. And again, we look at indices. Who invests in indices? I don't invest in indices, do you? Pretty much. So, you know, it's a market of stocks. You should always look at stocks. Always. You know, if you look at small caps, growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. Those are the things you look at. My loitering outside branches of Card Factory appears to be paying off. Shares about to go to a year high. Hey, I like that. You and your clipboard there outside the Card Factory. Okay. BP Marsh, buy and build and sell insurance companies. Let's look at the Card Factory chart. Let's have a look. Yes, it is the season to send cards, isn't it? Is it the, you know, the, oh, look at that. There we are. That's nice. Look at that. I did put the lines on before, you know, today. And as you can see, previous close, pretty much, it's above that. That's nice. That's a nice thing. What you want to get really is now, literally, see these two here, which was what? I'd say 117, because it has been that high and it's come back down. So if we can get that and close above that, then that's bullish. That's bullish. BP Marsh, you say? Marsh? That's a good... That's look at that. Over the last few days, you know, we're looking at charts mainly in downtrends. But that is nice. Look, you can see the air between the 200-day moving average and the share price has come off here, consolidated, you know, pretty much support level there, 280, and then broken up again. You can see that big rise there. It didn't get previous highs there, broke up again. Maybe needs a bit of consolidation. Sorry, I've got a little windy pops there. Sorry, I'll get to the comments and we'll go to the Vox Markets, the front page of Vox, and news out. Bitten the bullet and bought some Destiny Pharma today. Michael S. Where have you been, Michael? Been talking about those since the start of the year. That's a travesty. People don't believe you until the share price rises. I do the same as Silver Bullet. When people that takes off, people soon catch on. Definitely. Okay, £1,000 worth. Simon, insurance companies are contracyclical. Okay. According to liquidity specialist Michael Howell, I didn't know he was a liquidity specialist. Wow. Hello, I'm a liquidity specialist. I'll walk up. Well, essentially, that's a plumber, isn't it? You could say that, couldn't you? Yes, I'm a liquidity specialist. So where's your leak on your toilet? In fact, my toilet's leaking. Recession free up liquidity from the real economy, which can flow into financial markets, helping keep stocks up. Ooh, very interesting. Okay, let's just look at the front page of Vox here. See what's rising and moving. Some news there. Harvesting, innovation, five companies cultivating a greener future with agri-tech. Let's have a look at that, because that's interesting. Of course, we've got a growing population. We're not eating any less. And we've got finite resources. So people do this agri-tech. So Lawrence and piece here. Anpario is one. Light Science Technologies, yes. Ocean Harvest, yes. Eden Research. I'll read that later, but Plant Care, Plant Healthcare, yeah. I'm aware of all of those companies, which is very good. Oh, by the way, This is a company I own some stock in, Intelligent Ultrasound. I do like this. I think when you're going for small companies, right, that have tech, what you want is not just believe in the hope and the hype of the company that they will get some kind of deal going on, but they have got deals going on with the biggest players in the industry. Intelligent Ultrasound have. Like I said, they've just now, GE, one of the biggest ultrasound manufacturers in the world, have put their software, AI software, live AI software. So when they're scanning someone like this, there's 21 metrics you need to make when you're doing a baby scan. There's 21 metrics you need to make. And that used to be done manually, you know? But the AI software can do it, not only now post-scan, but live. You can do it and say, these are the metrics, they measure them all, and they'll show you the measurements of all these things. You know, I don't know if you've seen these, but head, length, width, all that stuff. And these AI metrics do that. But anyway, Intelligent Ultrasound software is now on GE's system as standard. So when they sell a bit of software, a bit of kit, they get a royalty, which is huge. You think something like GE, why haven't they got their own AI software? When you get a big company like that, a global leader in its field, using another company's software, which is a microcap based in the UK, that means it's best in class. That's validation for their technology, So yeah, good that. I like that. So, sorry, a bit biased there, but I own some shares in that company. I didn't cover that. Metals One yesterday receives first farming payments for Gunsind. And then, of course, in Scandinavia, Metals One, which is supply chain issues. You know, everything is dominated by China pretty much in critical metals. So we need to get, these supply of critical metals in Europe. Because, of course, we don't really rely on the Chinese, do we? It's the last thing you want to do. Amty, are people following this? They've had, of course, this was going to, and I keep saying this, it's a playbook. If you want to trade sort of near-death stocks, in the hope, again, hope is not an investment, in the hope they'll be thrown a lifeline and then rally strongly from going. I liken this to someone in ICU, where the patient is literally on death's doorbed, and the chart, there's a beep, beep, really weak signal in the heart, And then all of a sudden, it comes back to life. It's clear, put the things on, clear, and they come up. That sort of jump from the bottom of the share price, rising up with that almost near-death experience, is what happens with certain companies like this when they get funding, last-minute funding. So then you've got to think, that patient there, how healthy is he? So I prefer to go for a healthy company rather than someone who nearly died, but now can just about sit up in bed. And so Amity's got this funding. They've got what 400 grand stock. And in fact, I do like the area they're in. In fact, there's a bit of news out about macro news about this, which may help them. But Amity Power, they've placing for 400,000 convertible loan notes, all this stuff. It's a raise up to 2.5 million, basically. But I do like what they do because they're in the area of come up with, I don't know how, it takes a lot of, where we go, retail offer. But basically what they do, they are launching a series of next generation products based on new chemistries and cell sources that are designed to solve key problems in power delivery, energy problems, and safety. So new types of battery, And in fact, there's news out today, where is it by? Jeremy Hunt to pledge millions to woo electric car firms. The Chancellor is set to announce hundreds of millions of pounds of more funding for companies wanting to manufacture batteries for electric vehicles. At the moment, there's a 1.2 billion pot has been committed. But this is going to be in the autumn statement. There's another bit of story as well, here, but British ICES, which may be next week, I think 22nd, where are we? Next week, the autumn statement, it may be announcing that. But yes. So the British ISIS, I'll cover that in a bit. But anyway, Chill Brands, most followed. Verici, of course, Atlantic Lithium, GP Gold, Silver Bullets there. Do some research on that. I've done some videos on that. Do some research. I talked to Paul yesterday, and I've done a ramp on stocks, but I believe it has scale and cutting edge tech. Chill Brands. Sales of vapes to lead in the UK. I don't understand this, right? You can compare these two companies, similar market cap. That's going to do 10 million this year and be profitable next year. In a massive market, cutting edge technology. similar market cap to this. And they're basically, they've got some vapes going into a store somewhere. Is anyone shouting out for more vapes? Is there a lack of choice for vapes? There's also regulation. And I thought, okay, maybe they're doing well sales-wise. So I thought, let's go have a quick look at their final results here. All right, scroll down. Final results, the 31st of March. Scroll down. 12 million, this is market cap, okay. 82 grand, top line. Operating loss, 4 million. I don't get this. I really don't get it. Sometimes these companies get the hype. And it's nonsense. I do apologize if you own it, but I'm maybe missing something massive. I must be. Because, it's just frustrating sometimes. There's also this. This is very odd. So Valerium, which was like a blockchain sort of technology company on the Aquis, is going to acquire the Gibraltar Stock Exchange. It's a bold move. But now they said they are in the process of surrendering its license to the Gibraltar Stock Exchange. They said this, and Alan has gone. Alan, while this is happening, but James says, I would like to thank shareholders for their patience. Valerium still holds a fixed charge over shares totaling 50% of the GSX. How big is the Gibraltar Stock Exchange? How many stocks on there? So can someone do some research on that? With all relevant parties to find a way forward, the GSX Group is still keen for Valerium to conclude the acquisition of the Gibraltar Stock Exchange. It's an odd thing to do that, isn't it? Maybe I'm missing something. Let's have a look. Where's the best place website to see how long an AIM company can trade for? Cash burn, cash in bank. Well, you just got to do your own thing, or you can, create and knock up a spreadsheet. It's not hard. I mean, it's in what way? More information, please. So basically, if you want to look at let's look at that company there, right? Chill Brands. Let's look at that, right? Let's scroll down. Now, what you're going to do straight away, let me show the screen. What you're going to do straight away, okay, is look to see if they've raised any money, okay, recently, post their financial results. Because, of course, financial results are up to like the 30th of June or 31st of December, and that's the cutoff period. They may say at the top of the RNS, post period, we raised 2.5 million or 3 million, but it's worth looking. Scroll down. So they haven't, in my mind, trading update, grant share options, AGM statement. So they haven't raised any money since they released this. In fact, you've got to go to June, of course, March actually, because there we are, April. So they raised 2.6 million in April now, because these results go to the 31st of March. Everything after that won't be in it. But they did raise some money. They may mention that. The company raised 2.6 million. All right. So you scroll down. So look at this. They may even mention it, actually. It does say it there. Update on warehousing, virtual brands. Anyway, so you scroll down. Right, and the best place to look, cash-wise, because it is the cash flow statement. So you've got the income statement, you've got a balance sheet or financial position. And then you've got equity, basically, and then you've got the cash flow statement. So there's the income statement, okay? There's the balance sheet, okay? There's cash flows here. So best thing to look at, really, is look at operating activities. And this is it, net cash flow. So it'll be at the bottom there, because the cash flow statement's in three sections. It's in operations, investments, financing, okay? So operations, look at this, 2.5 million they used there. This is for the years. Okay, yeah, I suppose the years there. For the years, so in 12 months, they burned 2.5. So that's all you can go. But you don't really know how much, unless they update to the market, how much they're actually burning. So you just go on that, say, for last year and say, okay, so doing 12 months, they're doing that. And, so roughly get your calculator out and say, okay, 2.5 million divided by 12. They're doing, about £210,000 a month, say, okay? So then from March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, where are we at now? Sort of 9 months in, 9 months times 2 grand, 200,000 is what, 1.8 million? So that 2.8 then, how much cash they have? So that's 3.7. So they should be okay, because you have, add that there, 3.7 cash and equivalents, or the cash flow statement there, 3.4 here, cash and equivalents at the end of period. So that plus the 2.6, then take off the cash burn. I admit that sounds more complicated than this needs to be, but basically look at the current cash, you know, look at the cash burn. If they raise any more cash, then add that on to the current cash and just take the cash burn off. So I'd say take 2 million off what they've got now, 5 million. Somebody's got 3 million left. And that will last them a year. So there they are. So yeah, cash flow statement basically, and just look at you know, look at how much they've lost in operations, pretty much. And also there's investing as well. If they invest stuff, that's not all they've lost. So they can invest in it. Sometimes investing is one-offs, operations, regular kind of things, you know. Anyway, okay. With regards to Amity, I'm missing that. Justin and John both need liquidity specialists at home. Yes, John does, yes. And me, yes, because the toilet. And John suffered from floods last week. He's still swimming. He's still swimming around his living room. Maybe by now he's on the sofa and floating on the sofa, trying to paddle towards the door. So John has gone cashmere hunting, looking for producers to invest in. Michael, I like to know. I hope Vox does AI for it, feel for it. No chance. It's, yeah. Just look at cash. Honestly, you get to learn about the statements. It's worth doing. With regards to Amity, there is more potential with the each way bet on trap four at your local dog track. I know it's a trouble. See how much cash burn they got now. They've raised that money. A lot of it's convertibles. I think some of it has to be pass the resolution. I think it will be passed the general meeting or whatever, because if they don't do it, it'll go into administration. And trap five on Childebrand. I can't find any stocks on the Gibraltar. This is what I love. Thank you very much, Riffisoff. Just a question out there, and Riffisoff's done the research. I can't find any stocks on the Gibraltar Exchange. Lots of debt securities, things like, you know, series NX00276 euro. Yeah, okay. Okay. Reverse convertible loans linked to basket of equity. Silver Bullet. They've got there's contextual AI competitors, but more text rather than in video play. I mean, in fact, go back to the mission. If you look at my video on my channel on YouTube, you'll see there the competitors. Like I said, they were put up against a competitor suggested by Google. They smashed it. And that is huge. So just look at that. And even just in the recent, have a look at it. Okay. Huge area, very scalable. I shouldn't keep saying this. I'm just excited about it. I may be wrong. Just assume I am wrong. That's the best thing you can do. Assume I am wrong and take it from there. But I'm really excited about that. It's one of the companies I am excited about. Share screen. Let's go to Vox here. AFC, here we are. Who asked about AFC? Do you want Chill Brands again? There's an omen that. AFC. So they are doing things, AFC. I used to read a book. I think it was Michael Connelly, one of the detectives. I read those every night, detective books. I don't know why. It just gets me to sleep. But there's a quote you keep saying in that, but you've got to keep moving forward. Whatever happens, keep moving forward, you know? That's all you can do in life. Just keep moving forward. It's like sometimes in a traffic jam, in a car, right? And you just turn the car around and I'm going to go the other way and find the other route. And you may actually get to the route slower than if you actually sat in the traffic jam. But the fact you're moving, you're progressing, you know? And AFC do seem to be progressing. They do a lot of deals on the speedy hire and all that stuff. I did look at their broker note recently. The revenue top line is going up, but there's no profit in insight. You've got a question why Octopus, sold these hydrogen assets, and it could be not non-core for them. And I think it is. I think Octopus now is, more heat pumps, all that stuff. But AF Energy purchases for an undisclosed sum. Oh, don't tell us. Come on, tell us. Why don't they tell us for that? UK mobile. Well, I suppose you'd listen for an undisclosed sum. We'll soon see on the next financial statement. Because as a listed company, you have to declare all that, of course. UK mobile hydrogen storage and distribution assets from Octopus Hydrogen. The assets provide immediate logistics, a capability for supply of hydrogen fuel to AFC's energy's growing number of H-Power generator sets across the UK, such as through Speedy Hydrogen Solutions. There we are. Acquisition strengthens AFC's energy leading position across an integrated UK hydrogen value chain. Okay. Anything else? The assets comprise of 450 kilogram NanoSun Pioneer mobile hydrogen refueling stations. That's catchy, isn't it? Okay. They do seem to be busy. I do like that. I keep getting alerts on Team 17. I do like. Oh, hang on. So, I do like Team 17 actually, and I've run it through the spreadsheet, the chart. But that to me is too much of an aggressive rally. But look at that. It's gone literally from 234 to 354. But the worrying thing is now, it's above that previous high. So. It's moved too fast, too quick. It was massively over Team 17, worth looking at. Good quality company, but it's come down a long way. Debbie Beswick, I think, stood down as CEO. All right, Debbie. Ooh, yeah, I'm standing down, love. It's just too much stress. But AFC, sorry. I do like the name Debbie Beswick. It suggests someone from up north. I don't know why. All right, Debbie. How's Team 17 going? All right. Yeah, it's cracking. You know, independent game producers we are. So it's struggling here, the AFC chart, isn't it? You know, it is breaking above 50-day moving average, but really needed to get above this sort of previous highs. But maybe this is the bottom. Who knows? Because we've got a low here, and you know, and it didn't quite make that low next time round. So maybe this is the bottom. I can't say. It's too early to give it a high probability, but you know. In fact, look at that. That's a previous sort of support resistance there, and it broke down. You can see there a couple of times it sort of hit that, what is it, £17.50 level. And so, in fact, look at that. And that, coincidentally, is exactly now where they're almost pretty much the 200-day moving averages. So to break above that level would be quite nice, £17.50. And then you may be in an uptrend, momentum comes in, and do start to rally strongly. But these hydrogen stocks, they're quite highly valued, aren't they? I'm assuming, of course, the value will come in the future. That's what people expect. What's the market cap of AFC now? 117 million. Let's see how much cash they got. Because, of course, the loss-making company. Interim results. Here we go. So when you open up results, interim or financial results, full year results, when a company talks a lot at the top and don't show any financials, you've got to assume either the financials are non-existent or they're just operational at the moment. Well, I mean, exactly. Award of 3.4 million match grant funding post-period. That's an example, for example. Is after this date, the 30th of April, they're awarded this 4.3 grant funding. That will not be in the financial statements because they already got to the 30th of April. But here we go. Oh, they have got something. So cash and equivalents. Oh, they've got nice, 32 million. Loss for the period, 6.3. So they're not like, it's not like ITM. ITM burned a lot more than that. I think it was 80 or 90 million they burned. But so, you could say on that level, if they're going to continue losing 6.3, they've got, 5 years. That's a plenty. That's a long runway. As long as they don't go buying. Well, I don't know how much those hydrogen assets cost. That's the thing. You'll see that going forward. But I assume they won't be, chucking most of this into it. I've no idea how much those hydrogen assets cost, but that'll be a one-off investment. Well, maybe not one-off, but of course that'll dent that a little bit. So it'll reduce their runway based on this loss, this sort of cash burn. So there we are. Anything else to see news-wise? Jersey Oil and Gas, they've got a nice picture in there. They bought this, FPSO. Floating production storage and offloading vessel, that there. It's only a couple of years old, 3 years old. They've got a farm in as well, and they're going to get paid 9.4 million in cash for that. The greater Balkan area is what they're going to develop there with that FFPO, apparently. I don't know how much it costs them in total. I don't know if it says there. But a good bit of kit they bought there. That's Jersey Oil and Gas. What's the chart on it? Because that did really, you know, it really shot up in the back in the day for some reason. I can't remember now. But wow. Oh, it came down massively. Look at that. Nice rally. Where are we now? Yeah, okay. Well, it's a bit of a messy chart, that, isn't it? Spikes up and down like crazy. It's hard to see where the trend is. But you can see sometimes you put on a weekly, you can see a bit more. It's a bit cleaner. But yeah, it seems to have a series of higher lows here, doesn't it, over the weeks. Broke down a little bit here, but it's going back up. So yeah, that's Jersey Oil and Gas. Anything else? Rebold? Rebold's still cracking on, are they? Intelligent sound. Any rises? Anything you saw today on news that's rising? I didn't really. What did I see? Sweet down. Gresham Technologies, they fell because they said they are discontinuing their legacy IT contractor service, but they say this is better for them because, of course, they now have a subscription model, and there's no material changes to 2024 revenues apart from that. But nevertheless, because of that, they've come off a bit. In this market, you can. And what am I looking at then? There's something I was looking at. Oh, look at this. This is interesting. Real Good Food, okay. They need 1.4 million. Today, they sold rainbow dust colours. Talk about Fugazi. No, but they managed to sell rainbow dust colours for 800,000. Yeah, to a European Fermentation Limited. Total cash, 800 grand. Yeah, so Real Good Food, I don't know, they do, is it like, I don't know, it's like baking, isn't it, stuff like that, buy it online, is that, am I thinking of the right company? Let's have a look, Real Good Food, let's have a look, Real Good Food, oh yeah. Yeah, group decorations, cake decorations. They sell these. They basically, you can buy these cakes in a box, I think. That's an obviously listed company, really. But the fact that they managed to sell, rainbow dust colours for 800 grand, it's a buyer for anything, isn't it? Hey! wow. Okay. Hi, Michael. Normally, TradingView does show free cash flow. I think you can build a filter on this. Yeah, you can do all that. Should give you a, no, they also have net debt, and that should be a negative. Who's got net debt? If you look at Silver Bullet, that's a convertible by a major shareholder. Now, convertible loan notes, right? They're not all equal. If a convertible loan note is issued, to a company that does these for a living, issues debt via these convertible loan notes, then they can be brutal, because the company obviously is a loan house. Basically, they'll just sell their stock at a discount, just get their money back straight away. If these are issued by someone who's a big shareholder of the company and they have an alignment with the company or a director, there's a different thing. They're not, you know, the share price rising is in their interest, and the long-term benefit of the company is in their interest. So be careful on, love them into the same basket, convertible loan notes. If it's just by a funding house, they don't care. They don't care about the company or the share price. They just want their cash back. Gregory, Destiny or Silver Bullet, which will increase by the most over 2 years? What's your best guess? It's hard to say, isn't it? That's why I own both of them. They both come out. I mean, you're talking now, whereas Destiny's what, 80 million market cap, 75 million? You've got to look at the market cap, you know, because the value generation going from sort of 12 million, 40 million is a lot easier to double an 80 million pound company. But Destiny's in that space where it's addressing a $1 billion market, several billion dollar markets. So they both got massive upside potential, but also in very different sectors. One's going to be profitable next year. So, so it's a diversification of sector as well. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why would you carry eggs in a basket anyway? Just, any thoughts on Mitchell and Butler's? Let's look at Mitchell and Butler. Is it? So, are there any news out? course, it's God, I'm getting on here. Mitchell's and Butler. Mab. Let's look at the chart there. That's a weekly here, sorry. Let's put back on daily. Yeah, nice. Look at that. I mean, I know I'm talking to the preacher, the converted many of you. But if you just want to help your investing, I keep saying this, it's not fundamentals versus technicals, right? It's not that. It's fundamentals with technicals added on. So, you know, it's similar to that. It's an extra tool in your kit. If you are a handyman, you know, and you start off, and someone says, you know, I bought you a tool bag, and I also put a hammer in there for you. Well, brilliant. I'll use that a lot as a handyman. Sometimes you need a spanner as well. You know, maybe a spanner. So that's, you know, it's the same. You use both. Don't use one. But look at that. You can see here, and it's, I keep saying it's the most purest form of money flow. You can see a pictorial representation of money flow. So you see this gap up, big strong gap up above his 200-day moving average, right? And why is it gapping up? Well, because there's net demand for the shares. It's all about supply and demand. That's all it's about. Economics 101, that's share supply. And that's, of course, unless you get more shares issued, the supply is pretty much static. It's on a semi-permanent basis. So you get demand coming in and less people selling, the share price rises. When you get a struggling, you know, to rise, of course, this can be based around the fundamentals completely. But you don't know who's holding, who's not. You could have some big sellers out there waiting for some news to come out and just dump their stock. So even though the fundamental news is good, you know, the share price might not rise because you've got a big dumper in there that's been sitting on a loss for a long time and using a liquidity event like a financial results to get out. And that could take months to get out. Anyway, so it rises there. A couple of times here, doesn't break. So you got a little fight with the bull and bears here, and up it goes again. And you can see there straight away, you know, previous highs, strong break, up it goes. And then it rolls over. Hasn't been on that moving average, you know, since November 2020, and it does hit it in July 2021. So that's 8 months. This is not day trading, you know. It's not day trading using that moving average, and it hits it here. So a red flag comes here. Thinking, why is it now the trend breaking down? You can see it's rolling over these series almost lower lows here. It doesn't break previous high up here. The first high it made is up there, and it doesn't break that. It comes down. Uh-oh, red flag, first red flag. It rallies a little bit because the bulls come back in. People say, oh, it's a bit of a bargain there. I was looking to buy this stock back here. I couldn't buy it now. I'm jumping in. And then also more people offload, goes down again. Second red flag here. And then all of a sudden, from there, September 2021, okay, it doesn't get above that 200-day moving average. September 2021, it does it there. But again, it's a very steep slope here, and it's coming down. It doesn't really break new highs from there. You can see there, the share price doesn't break. It does start breaking them here, but it breaks up above and then back up. Nice. So nice. And there's a nice gap up there. So even if you just use a 200-day moving average, look at why it's doing that, why it's breaking down. You know, put some logic to it. Can't deny that. Nice that. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't looked at any results on that. That's just looking at the thing. Is there anything else worth looking at? Mitchell's and Butler. They got some directors buying. Is it to some of the bigger companies? It's just free shares, it's options. Fourth quarter trading update. Let's have a look there. They are like for like food, drink, total 10%, up 9%. Weeks one to it's all positive there, isn't it? Maybe from a low base where they've suffered, but it's all positive there. It looks good. So nice. Anything else before I look at some business news? OBD has rich portfolio of blood tests in their pipeline. They are going to be big in 2 or 3 years' time. You know, I like their technology. I said I do. I mean, but to me, I missed the big fast rise on that. And I would like to see, I mean, some deals with cash come in, but excellent technology. Excellent. Sometimes I just worry about commercial execution on certain companies. I've had that problem with Plarium. Very good. I tell you this, I was literally, because of Destiny Pharma risen, I was looking for companies in a similar vein, you know, looking at big end market problems. And cancer, of course, is one of the biggest of all. If you go on anywhere, what kills people above their 60s? Okay, say three things. Largely, it's cancer, heart disease, and dementia. And those three things. And you can't really, if you crack dementia, it's a huge market. Crack cancer, huge market. But heart disease, again, it's more a lifestyle thing. So it takes years to sort that out. But immediately, if you can crack sort of cancer and dementia, those areas, massive. So any company suggestions, Alija, in those areas who have ground-cutting tech, they're, you know, tackling those problems of like dementia and cancer, then huge. Oh, and what's the biggest cancer killer? Lung cancer. In fact, I own a company, of course, doing tests in that field, which is Lung Life AI. Not sure the relevance of, but CoinDesk says the Gibraltar Stock Exchange is allowing financial firms to list blockchain-based securities on its GSX. Oh, that's why. Okay, so they're going to do that. It'll be the first crypto exchange. You've got to regulate that, haven't you? Oh, Scam Street, not Wall Street. okay. So this is quite interesting. Look at this. The Great British ISA. I quite like the idea of this. This could be in the autumn statement, by the way. If you invest in UK stocks in your ISA, you can get extra £5,000 tax allowance. I love this idea. And in fact, who suggests this? Premier Mighton, Michael Shear. That's a company worth looking at by chart-wise. If, when the stock market's in, PMI ticker, when the stock market turns, like AssetCo, Paul was talking about yesterday, when the market turns, that will rise very quickly because it's very leveraged, the market, of course, and rising asset prices. But anyway, Premier Mighton floated the idea of UK-only stocks ISA in the Telegraph in September. And of course, you imagine that would happen. First of all, you get extra money to invest, and that money would go into British companies in the British markets. You know, I think it'd be a great idea. So... anyway, you can see that when I publish this, you can read that on Vox. And I think the article is from The Telegraph, if you want to look at that. But all the stuff about the extra funding for electric cars, all that will be in the autumn statement, apparently, which is next, was it Wednesday, Tuesday? No, 22nd, whatever that is. Thursday, I don't know. So very interesting to see if that happens. But I'd love that. Stimulate, invest in Britain. If you invest in, you know, the people and technologies, we'll become innovators. That's why America do so well. You know, they've got all these seed fundings, startup capital, venture capital companies. It's really, you know, they've got deep capital pockets in America. They don't mind taking risks. They almost champion failure. They, you know, try and go for moonshots. And that's why their market is that their stock market is the big. Of course, they've got a population, but not the biggest in the world. But we needed that. Invest in our country, because we've got some amazing innovators in the country. You know, DeepMind, you know, which Google uses, AI, come from the UK. You know, it's... so we need more of that. People need to invest more. I wasn't sharing that, was I? No. Sorry. I just shared, it's on the front page there. Great British ISA. So, in fact, let's look at the Premier Mighton, PMI. Again, it's been hammered because, of course, you get fund withdrawals, redemptions through investors, you know, which are investing their funds, and they have to sell their funds, and that takes the shares down. It's a vicious cycle because they have to sell the funds they hold, the stocks they hold. It pushes them down. So, as a fund manager, you know, the value of your fund goes down. And, of course, retail investors sell in bear markets. It just gets worse and worse. But these kind of companies like this, AssetCo as well, when the market turns, worth looking at. Because I think Premier Mighton largely invest in. In fact, did we talk about yesterday? Microfunds. So that's, you know, they do invest in small caps, micro caps, Premier Mighton. So, you know, interesting play on the small cap sector. Because, of course, they're very selective. And rather than actually buying a fund of theirs, you can just invest in their stock, you know, because the funds charge you money. Management fees, but buying the stock doesn't. It's just a dealing charge with the stockbroker. That's it. Thank you very much, and have a nice weekend, everyone. And who knows? Maybe Johnny will be back next week. But if you could do me a big favour, hit that, you know, like button if you could, and share it with someone who you think may be interested in investing or, you know, likes to talk about stocks. Just share it with anyone. Just copy the link, send it to your entire email contacts list. Fantastic. And don't forget, if you haven't downloaded the Vox Markets app, please try it. Give it a try and let us know, because it's free and you'll get RNSs delivered straight to the front screen of your smartphone. There we go. Thanks very much. Have a nice weekend. Speak next week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.